Do I have the power here or what?
So are you going to hook in with your...
Is this...
Yeah, put headphones on.
Is that what I do?
Yeah.
So okay is...
You amateur.
Now it's done.
Is enter?
These are all clean.
Did you make my Tina Turner hair today?
I do, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, you look like an 80-year-old black woman.
Totally rock star.
That's right. Joyful noise.
Congratulations, you are hooked into the machine.
This all right. is delicious. This
so we're already recording, so we'll use all this part.
I love Sam.
what are you drinking? You're having a stout?
I'm having Sam Adams.
Nice. All right.
And I'm already singing Tina Turner.
You should probably get on the mic.
Yeah, we might be able to hear you.
If you were actually on a mic, then that would be fantastic.
Yes, by the way, I opened all the beers and added a little something.
Okay. Mm. We didn't do a mic check on Ms. Metallus. Let's see if she actually can be heard or not.
Check 1, 2.
I don't know that I hear.
I'm not hearing Jack. Got to eat the mic.
1, 2.
Navy beans, meatloaf sandwich.
Oh, wait. There we go.
Good morning.
Nope. Never mind.
Nope. Not yet.
I see your...
We got a waveform?
Yeah, I saw your levels there.
Really? Are you sure? I can't see them? Really? See, I don't know any more Tina Turner songs.
You don't know Nutbush? Come
what
on.
What you get is what really you don't. See. Ain't nothing more. Do you know that Carol Channing is black?
Really? Yeah, I kind of see it.
She's half black.
You know what's weird is that never did I ever think that was a possibility. And then as soon as you said that, it's like something course, unlocked in my brain. It's like, oh, yeah.
Apparently
that makes complete
black.
Sense.
Oh, my God. That like just changed my whole life.
Yeah.
View of her.
That's what I'm here for.
Did you know Ruth Buzzy has the single best Twitter feed?
She is hilarious. I love her.
It's just nothing but the worst kindergarten puns you've ever heard in your life. It's just, it's hysterical.
I'm following her because I'm hoping she'll do a Soupy Sales on us. Because Soupy Sales still to this day, and he died 5 years ago, left us with the greatest last tweet anyone could ever have possibly done. And I don't know if he knew it was time. And what he said, I'm going out on that one. That's it. I'm going to go to bed and die. But it was just, you have to check it out. It's just still up. Soupy Sales.
Okay.
He's still, no one ever dies on Twitter. So, in fact, there's a website called Last Tweets that collates everyone's tweets just before they died.
Search the obits and then say, did that guy have a Twitter?
Yeah. Well, like there was the rapper who, you know, said, YOLO smash dead.
Yeah, he's drinking while driving. Like, don't care. YOLO.
Yeah, YOLO dead.
15 minutes later, he died.
Yeah. So.
Doc, doc.
Check 1, 2.
So I think you know, okay, I'm not going to tweet for a while.
Talk, talk, talk.
This is my last tweet.
I'd want to, like,
okay with that.
If I knew I was going to die, I'd like write a half-written tweet that has like a
dash.
That
just says, you know,
like, hey, oh, I wonder what happens if I take this and stick it in.
Someone coming toward me with a strange look in his.
You should just tweet. I have an idea for the world's greatest YouTube video. And then that's
yeah, really.
It's like, oh my God,
but why did he?
That was the last thing he said.
But he pressed send. I don't understand.
Anna Kendrick posted something awesome. She's
she's great.
She wrote, I can do that. Hold my beer, and that was in quotes. And then she wrote, my last words probably.
Like, yeah. I loved her one about cups. That was
this
killer.
Is Amy trying again.
There you go.
There it is. Okay. You can hear yourself you're talking.
Come in, Houston.
You just want my voice in your head.
Whoa.
Ah!
Whoa.
How did you know? I was going to ask you for Christmas, but...
My voice is always in Trey's head.
Okay, mic check. I'm talking. I might even go up a little bit or down, kind of.
I can make my voice do this, or maybe I can do this. I can do all kinds of things with it.
Please. I am the Greek Cornholio.
I have really bad allergies. Yeah. What happens if I have to sneeze?
Turn away.
We don't have a sneeze button.
Flee.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
That's just general rule in life.
It was a legit question.
I'm a sneeze repository.
Yeah.
But this sleeve is already.
We don't have a cough
just in case.
There's no cough button.
Lean away from the mic like Tayson Day.
As we say in the podcast, sometimes we're professionals, just not at this.
Oh, thank you.
It's an empty box that Kleenex was once in.
Nice. There's one left. A very happy looking box.
Sneeze into this box.
It's a memorial. It's a Kleenex memorial that we've set up.
Yeah. Okay.
Then
you're good.
All right.
Neat.
All right. Were we rolling on all of that?
Yeah. I can
start fresh. It'll be a 9-hour commentary.
There was one Trey and I did that we literally just fucking riffed for like a half an hour before we ever finally got to that.
Oh, yeah. And I used about 15 minutes of it. We just came in cold. So it's like, what are they talking about? What are they even talking about?
Everybody's
I'm debating whether or not
phone.
To put the figure skating commentary on the DVD because people really
I fucking
they,
love the figure
people
skating
dig that
commentary.
One. It's weird. So, all right, we are rolling. It's happening. Okay.
Oh, rolling now. Cool.
All right, professional show business starts
we got
now.
Like 6 emails in like 2 seconds. Oh, because everybody retweeted
Pink Fire's tweet.
I didn't know why I did.
No one ever retweets
it. Yeah, like, me and Duncan. I look down, I have like 13 emails, and I'm like,
Amy and I aren't online, so it wasn't us, so it can't
me and
be
Duncan.
Anybody.
Duncan and I did it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good. It makes it seem like it's a big deal. That's good.
I just want to say my ex-girlfriend is writing a case study in how not to crowdfund. I should
oh,
note that.
Awesome.
She is doing she says $75,000 in 60 days. She has 10 days left. She's right $1,900. Like it's
not looking good.
It's not looking good. It's just
dear.
She needs like yeah. But she's like updating like 9 times a day, making bad puns, and like she's just tweeting to the same people over and over again.
Please.
It's like this resource is tapped.
Like me on Facebook. Yeah, that's not happening. So Peter Mayhew isn't getting any traction.
That was odd. That was
oh, really?
That weird. Sucks. He's only
Harry Knowles is only like at 35% right now, and he's got like 10 days ago.
It's funny how just you know sometimes that internet love is a mile wide and an inch deep.
Mm. So, yeah. The pockets.
That's
too.
The Tina Turner song.
Mile wide, inch deep.
Yeah.
Like it's about Ike.
River Deep, Mountain High. It's it's a sequel to River Deep, Mountain High that nobody Ike. Else.
Anyway. So, hey, everybody. How about a commentary? What do you think?
It sounds like fun to me.
All right. I got the stunt team here. Very exciting. We haven't assembled this group in quite a while.
It is a little weird just for the three of us to be sitting on couches and not throwing ourselves on
not
them.
One
or wearing
ice
some
pack
kind of
held to any
something.
Part of your body.
Yeah.
So, that's great. But I'll do the introductions. I've got Mr. Duncan Fraser.
Hello.
One of our stunt people. We've got Miss Amy Earhart, who you may recall from the show.
Hello.
Yes. And Mr. Edward Doty.
Oh, Edward. We're going proper now.
It's a black tie affair.
All right.
Oh,
yes.
We're doing.
By the way, Doty. If any were to look me up on IMDb, it's Duncan K. Fraser.
Duncan K. Fraser.
Not to be confused with the 80-year-old dude from Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Oh, he was
by
great.
The way.
I love that.
Was
Duncan
he?
Fraser.
I didn't even see that.
See, I thought when I made the call, I thought you were him.
Oh. So, well, sorry to disappoint, but I'll try to kick it up a notch.
He wasn't in.
No, no, he was in a Star Trek. Trek fan series.
That's
what it was.
Oh,
saying.
Dang. I liked him in Time Cop, though. He was the Irish cop.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this is basically the core of our stunt team.
Oh, my goodness.
You guys
core.
Spent an inordinate amount of time punching each other.
Or getting punched
down.
By a certain
These
lady.
Guys were such good sports. I mean, they were such good sports. That's the one thing that stands out to me is that every day they're in this awful armor and they're getting pinched and bruised and I'm kicking them in the face and everywhere else you can imagine and they just had smiles on their face all the
Loved
time.
Every second.
Thank you.
And it was like I could do no wrong.
I've got the video. It went on for quite a while.
I didn't mind the punches and the kicks as much as I mind the pinches because the pinches came, those come out of nowhere. You'll just be walking eating a sandwich and then like just suddenly the underskin between your like your terrace major just gets like pinched with this shitty piece of plastic.
Seriously.
And then
you and then you wrap your elbows and your knees and stuff thinking, oh yeah, this will block it. No,
nothing
it just
works.
Pinches you above the table.
All that happens is the tape
it's
migrates
like
to different parts of your body.
Traveling
and of
pinches.
Course we had special custom armor that did that less than normal armor does.
Papa Alexis?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Papa Alexis
Papa
awesome.
Alexis did an amazing job making it. We can tell the story about how the normal 501st guys were stunned that you even dared to like fall over in your armor.
The first time I sat down in a chair in armor, it was like the Ark of the Covenant was being opened in front of them. It was like a mystery.
And also that you could like dress yourself and undress yourself so quickly, just like zip bang and you were out of it and all that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, time to go to the bathroom, clank, and the armor just like drops down.
No, overlooks.
It's funny, all of our jokes about them, you know, the stormtroopers being kind of ineffective are really true because if you run into one of those guys at a convention and you run up to him, like you're going to punch
him,
they're like, oh,
it's the Tin Man.
They won't see you either until you enter that 20 degrees of vision they actually
they
have through the helmet.
Huge blind spots in
and
the armor.
They're very top heavy and they can't tell what's going on. So it's a good job, Empire. So we'll begin now because actually we've got about a 5-minute run before any stunts happen. So we still have time
true.
To watching visual effects, but no stunts at the beginning. So I'm going to actually start the playback now, if I remember what button to push. I
Very
hope it's
pretty
one.
Visual effects, by the way. I watched this on my friend's 60-inch flat screen 3D
really?
Television.
Because I have never...
Amazing.
I have never... Hey, that's beautiful music, by the way. I've never seen it on a TV yet. So this is actually my first opportunity to... Because this version we're looking at has not had the final pass of color correction and final tweaks and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. This is literally our first showing at the convention version. But anyway, so we... I think we in earlier commentaries we covered sort of the back history of how everybody got into this.
How all the pieces of the world of Pink Five came into play. Yeah.
So,
That's a good story.
it is sort of random and just sort of like, it is sort of like bizarre of how like, just a chance encounter, and then it's like, you know, so many years worth of work.
And then within days, like within absolute days of that, you were so ingrained in the project.
Yeah, no, just it, the things just came together. It was very kismet.
And I got my shot because you broke up with a guy, right?
What?
Yeah, because your boyfriend at the time did the first stunt on Return of Pink Five.
We weren't actually
going
to go there, but
I'll
Duncan, you open that door.
It's a commentary. It's supposed to be entertaining.
All the dirty laundry.
It's actually random how we met Duncan, too, because we met Duncan at a convention in downtown Los Angeles.
Duncan handed me his headshot and said, hey, I really like the Pink Five series. If you ever make more, give me a call. And I looked at the picture and said, this guy looks a lot like Luke Skywalker if we were ever going to do a scene like that, which we weren't planning to do one at the time.
No. Which I pitched to you, by the way. If you remember one day we were doing the stunts and I came up to you and Amy on the couch and took my helmet off. I'm like, I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
Like, yeah, that's great. Yeah,
you both stone-faced me, though. You're just like totally flat.
We
were just
tired.
Like looking at each other like,
We were very tired.
Teague and I were talking the other night. It's like, if there was one person you were going to go full face on in this series to be like, this is a guy from the movie, like that seamless. Because everybody else is sort of like obscured from distance or whatever, like our Han and our Leia and everything. But it's like, if there's one guy you're just going to do the money shot on, it might as well be Duncan because it's just kind of eerie. Like,
which we did. Which we totally did. We'll get to that. That's the little coda after all the stunts are done. We get the final.
So this is what I was looking down at the entire time.
Exactly.
I didn't know.
So we'll talk about the history.
So Sound City Studios actually has one of these.
Yeah, it does. Yes. We knew when we started to do this thing, we knew that there was going to be a. We hadn't done any action ever in previous stunts. Okay, people are going to
I sat in a chair like that.
Do an action scene. So we planned this whole thing and we, you know, you guys started way before we shot anything, like training, just sort of general training. And we've got making ofs about all that sort of stuff. And then we finally built this massive catwalk set, which was certainly the biggest single piece of anything that we built for Pink Five ever. But it was in this tiny studio. The set fills the entire studio. So in fact, we couldn't even shoot it in order. That was one of the things. We couldn't shoot contiguously because to get the other angle from the other side of the set, we had to turn the entire set around in the studio. And as I recall, it was about a 9-day shoot.
This is our Mountain Dew.
Easily. Yeah. Was it only 9 days?
It was about nine. Was 9 or 11. I have to look it up. But it took so. And I called it. Always called this the Michael Bay sequence because usually I shoot almost no coverage. You know, I shoot very simple coverage because I have to do my own editing. And this one we covered it like crazy because it's an action scene and you kind of want lots of angles, which I regretted many times.
I remember the jib on a U-shaped dolly track. During the sequence, we had jibs.
Working,
And a tiny little low ceiling, and the catwalk itself was only 2 feet off the floor, so every time you guys do those falls, you're not falling very far. You're falling pretty far for being in stormtrooper armor.
So interesting story. So before we started shooting this, I had just moved into a new luxury studio apartment,
in Montrose,
and I didn't have a couch, and we had this big kind of open floor plan, and you know, we just started working out in my apartment, and in lieu of getting a couch, we ended up taping off the floor to the exact dimensions of the catwalk and starting to work within those confines because it actually was elevated off the ground.
It's the size of a small apartment.
Right. And you do have to learn to like work within certain specifications. So.
It helped a lot. I had my doubts when we started doing it of like how well it would translate. But generally speaking, like I didn't ever feel like we were out of sorts in terms of geography. And I knew that for what Trey wanted, we wanted guys to be taking bumps off both sides of the catwalk ultimately, and that the sequence would revolve around Duncan and I basically throwing ourselves, and we knew we would need more people there who were non-stunt players to just do what you're seeing now, which is just stand and fire. But once we got into the business of taking bumps, that we needed enough space to sort of be comfortable with. And it wasn't, you know, obviously we had to do some adjustment on set, but by and large, it held up pretty well. It wasn't something where we got to set and it's like, oh, we got to redo the entire fight now.
I think we had a good idea of the physicality limitations that we had to work with going into it.
From the get-go, it was designed to be a very limited space. You know, I wanted this to be a very pitched battle on a very tiny space, you know, the worst possible place to have a fight.
Right.
That, you know,
a diving board.
The diving board with no railings over a bottomless pit.
I didn't get all of that fun, like, prep. They're just like, here's some armor. Put this on and
Duncan
go stand on that platform.
To the thing.
Oh, and you can't see very well.
Yeah. Yeah, so. PSLOL.
It's like you were willing to do it. That was how you got the game.
And since this is the first time I'm doing commentary with Duncan, I just want to say, kind of off of what Amy's initial comment was, if any compliment I get for being game for anything, Duncan deserves times three, because there was very little I gave to Duncan where, I mean, I did ask a lot of Duncan in very short amount of time. I always made sure there wasn't anything I was going to ask him to do that I wouldn't be willing to do myself, but there was never there. I don't think there was anything I gave Duncan where he said no. He just was always at least willing to try everything.
Well, and then the best part is that he would finish the stunts and then he would run off to Quiznos and go pick us all up.
I know, right? Because he was also a producer and a PA.
Producing and running craft service and everything else at the same time.
I mean, Pink 5 is nothing but several multi hyphenates stacked upon one another, and Duncan is
no one had just one job on Pink 5.
Duncan
had all of them.
I do want to say this right here, this insert shot, this was during the point where we had already wrapped and we had already turned in our crash mats.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a bit here where I take a...
You do the fall.
I do a fall. Basically, we were like, how can we take a fall without the crash mat? So I'm like, let's get some couch cushions. Yeah. And we took couch cushions and we took Fernie pads and we taped those over each other.
We just took a big stack of whatever soft things we found.
And Duncan also stretched out on the ground for you to fall on.
Yeah.
I didn't get the credit for stunt pad.
Fall on Duncan. No, but there was
people would catch you sometimes if we could do it, you know, like trying to intercept you.
I still have the photo of me in that setup with Trey doing the thumbs up, and we take the photo and immediately Trey was like, yeah, save that for the lawsuit. So like that will eventually happen. Yeah. Surprisingly, it was perfect between the armor and just like two layers of couch cushions and fernie pads.
The actual shot of the fall, which is coming up later, is you know, you only fall just far enough. The shot ends when you hit the mat.
I gotta say,
feels like plenty of space is, you know, looks like you're falling a long distance.
And I gotta say, I was very happy with Amy Saberwork here, and it was a good mix of like the kind of basic Japanese stuff and the Filipino stuff, and just really, really, you know, it cut together well. It came together.
I remember you talked about you had said that it was I know a phrase wushu because of you, and you talked about how it's very Yoda like and very twirly.
Yeah,
and I tried to cut in all the twirls that we had.
Right.
I tried to do all the extra little spins and twirls. Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it was less Yoda twirly, and it was more like I said, it had more of a bit of a Filipino influence to it than anything else. This gag, I think, did we come up with this on the day?
It was always scripted.
It was always scripted. Yeah,
she had to get a gun to be able to deal with the guys. We call the eagle's nest up there.
Right.
Absolutely. And there was always going to be...
And there's my fall.
There's the fall.
Yep.
Not the long one. We were going to do that. We were going to try and do that, but we ended up not being able to shoot it. But
right.
By the way, just for anybody listening, since it's old hat to us, anytime you see a stormtrooper that falls off of that platform or otherwise gets kicked, punched, or stabbed, that's either me or Eddie.
It's always me or Duncan.
Always me or Duncan.
We shot in November last year.
There was one section of this that once I kind of assembled it, you know, I didn't think we really had...
I like how I turn into the ghost from The Ring 2 here.
A workable sequence. It didn't really work, you know, the way we planned it. And I was like, well, okay. So this was part of our reshoot, our Kickstarter reshoot, was this whole section here where we amped it up. And I wanted to call back. No one else wanted it, but I wanted to call back the sometimes Stacy just throws her saber at you.
Right.
All the way from Strikes Back.
It's the tree fall KO where I get kicked and then I just timber over like a...
Actually, if you listen to the soundtrack, there actually is a sound of like a box of metal being shaken, like clang, 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 clang.
Wait, did
like,
you do that? I thought I did that.
Literally,
I ended up doing it because my helmet was more padded.
That's right. Yeah, you had more padding on the helmet.
The head kick was Eddie in that.
As evidenced by the fact you almost got knocked out doing Endor.
Right.
Yeah, that was... He got the hit. The elbow hit, when she takes the gun, is also Eddie.
Yeah.
I would just like to say there were lots of bruises incurred in the making of the catwalk.
Nobody left unbruised.
You suffered for your art.
Yeah, that was...
Not to have any padding.
That's the other thing.
Sometimes we could get a knee pad on you or something.
I think I did maybe get some knee pads.
Sometimes
here,
we could hide knee pads.
We could get knee pads, and then the only thing I did, every morning I taped Amy's ankles up, because the last thing I wanted everybody doing was to twist something. Because, I mean, in terms of... us stormtroopers, yes, we fall, but we stay pretty much still. Amy's got to run up and down this thing. Amy's got to, you know, and not only that, but she has to sell that we're on this unstable, especially at this point, we're on this unstable bridge. And the last thing I wanted was like some stupid ankle roll to like stop down production for the day.
We also learned that anytime she hit someone with armor on, that it was painful for her because it's a big hunk of hard plastic.
Hell yeah. That's why I had her kicking tie pads 120 times a day for, you know, however long we did it, because shins be sensitive, yo.
Mm-hmm. Shins be bruising.
Shins be sensitive, yeah.
Yes. Got to develop that old wushu iron shin technique, right? the end of the day.
Yeah.
There was a there was going to be one more joke here, which I cut out, but there was a whole other section of, you know, there's some of the stuff that we shot, you know, I didn't use because of various reasons, one of which was that there were going to be even more stormtroopers there at the end. But and I had a version of that cut, but then I opted not to use it.
Oh, did I get too messy or?
It was just one step too many. I mean, you know, there's mm-hmm. a point where you just kind of go.
There's a rhythm.
We've kind of told the story. Let's move on because there's lots more to go. Because we were wrapping up the whole series, you know, this basically has more endings than Lord of the Rings.
So this part's crazy because we actually moved our set from inside the studio to outside in the parking lot. Yeah. In January at 2 a.m. and it was very cold. And the reason for doing that, and it was a lot higher off the ground. It was maybe 8 feet off the ground as opposed to 2. Because right here, as you will see, is this the only time in Volume 3 that I actually interface with another actor?
No, Duncan, I count as that. This would be
we interface.
Well, that's true.
I didn't we can point it out, and of course, this leaves us nothing to talk about in our commentary, so we can just get it all wrapped up here. But it has nothing to do with stunts. But yeah, the not only just in Return of Pink Five, but the entire Pink Five series. You talk to the Emperor in makeup face-to-face here, which you didn't do in the other Emperor scene. You guys actually didn't play that scene at the same time, although you did run lines for each other. And Obi-Wan was kind of there and kind of not when you would play with Obi-Wan. But Duncan is the only human that you ever play a scene with.
In the
entire sequence, entire series ever.
Did not realize
it's robots,
that.
Puppets, people in heavy makeup, people who aren't there.
Ewoks.
You're
this
the one human being.
This is,
being
this is a Steve Stanton scene. Stunt worth mentioning here.
Oh, yeah.
He was
amazing bit of pantomime there.
It was great. You know, we actually really did go through that physicality of holding each other's arms.
I think you
can actually kind of see the tension we're both putting in our arms to really try and make it. Yeah. Look like I was holding.
No, the pantomime is amazing because he's literally got one toe on an apple box and he's literally waving his other foot just behind him and it completely sells that he's dangling from your arm. It's an amazing piece of work.
The one last little bit of business about the stormtrooper thing. The big thing about taking bumps.
10 minutes. Pace yourself.
Okay. The big thing about stormtrooper armor is that when we take a bump, without. As I came to call it, 40 pounds of dork strapped you.
We have to tell that story.
The only thing is that normally you can engage all these muscles to therefore flip and fly and do all these. You can do a front bump, which is just a front flip and land on your back, because you have ab muscles that you can engage, or you can fling yourself up because you can jump. Your range of mobility is severely compromised in that armor. And my big thing for safety, especially when it came to asking other people to do this stuff, was there were a couple bumps I want to do where we would flip forward and I didn't. There's this huge chest piece that goes from basically your crotch all the way up to like just below your chest, so trying to be able to flip in that armor was extraordinarily tough, and we had to take some really kind of normally what I would consider sloppy looking bumps, but in the armor, like, you get the fact that that's as much as those guys are moving, so in a weird way it actually helps sell the effect of getting hit or knocked off or flying about.
You can't help but move like a stormtrooper.
Exactly. I mean, I would even say, and having watched Star Wars a few times since doing this, we actually are far more physical as stunt troopers than in the original production.
I agree.
In terms of in the prequels, when the clone troopers, that's all CGI armor because that armor sucks to move around in. So in a weird way, I take a great deal of pride knowing that we were able to do more in that armor than even the original production.
What ended up happening to the stunt suits?
I'm looking to sell them on eBay.
I know is that the last day of production, I was
looking to sell those stunt armor suits on eBay.
Hopefully
right now.
By well, of course, Amy and I are now both honorary members of the 501st.
Right.
Then we're only honorary because we don't actually have a costume that can be approved. But
it always
occurs to me, like, wait, I own two sets of stormtrooper armor. I could be a stormtrooper. I could do that.
And in order to go full infomercial here,
actually, it wouldn't be official because it's been carved out in unofficial.
Yeah, you
ways.
Should
do like a Siamese.
There's some shavings. There's I know that Christine took a belt sander to like some of the edges, especially around like the hip area, because just in order to get some of that done. There's also some elastic straps as opposed to the standard leather straps.
And there's padding inside.
But again, hey, standard. Nerds at convention. If you're at Comic-Con and it's day 3 and you need to pee, you can get that armor off.
Yeah,
you can get that armor off in less than 10 seconds.
I literally
no joke.
Do plan to, you know, I probably will sell. sell it, you know, when I have a free moment, and I will sell it as stunt armor. Like, okay, for your fan yep. film, this is not like, you know, where to
it's yeah, the official. The interior is padded. And
anyone, because people, I get that question all the time. People are like going, how do you get the stormtroopers? Because you can get all the 501st guys and gals to be in your fan film, you know, if you know.
They're
any.
So great. They're, can yeah, we just stop and like, they were really awesome. Really awesome.
We couldn't have done, you know,
let's say that.
Everything that isn't you guys is one of them, you know, with their amazing costumes.
And they were game. They were always game. They never complained once.
But the one thing, they won't do very because much. They can't is fall down or do any kind of stunt whatsoever.
Oh,
because
yeah.
that will totally destroy their yeah. pristine armor. So they can't do that. So
I remember the first time like you called cut on something. I had to run somewhere and I'd get my arm off. I'm like, okay, cool. And I went click click clack, and like the armor just yeah. fell off of me. Our other 501st people were like, what the hell yeah. just happened? Like, because it literally looked like I just exploded out of armor.
Right. Yeah, totally.
So does getting my hair blown off count as a stunt? I'm just wondering.
We can add that. By the way,
burned off.
Talk about commitment to a role. If you let us take an acetylene torch to your face.
That's amazing. Not true.
So here he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Duncan.
Duncan Fraser.
Now,
Duncan,
this counts as a stunt, surely, Duncan, right?
Yeah, there is a stunt here.
Actually, there is a stunt
here. There actually is a stunt here.
Where it's a pretty aggressive kiss you guys
yeah,
are
we had
on.
A, yeah, actually, the original soundtrack of it is like, it sounds like a car accident. It really is. It's like, it's like
crack.
My God, they're eating each other. Oh, Lord.
You know, it was funny, though.
You look like Ralph Macchio in Karate Kid. He's just devouring her.
It wasn't just like some random actor that we met. Like, I'd known Duncan.
Yeah, I'd been around. You'd been kicking me in the face a lot by then.
Yeah, we'd hung out and stuff, and it was mm-hmm. you know
it was like, okay, you guys, now we're gonna do the kissing.
There was a
scene.
Level of comfort. Well, I didn't even know it was gonna happen, and then I think I got to set, and
oh,
Trey's
the way.
Like, oh, so this is the part where you kiss. I'm like, what?
Do what now?
Well, you weren't the only one that day, because this whole day, but it's not really a stunt guy. You know, I'm saving it because Amy and I need something to talk about in our commentary. But this whole day was a weird day on set. There was a lot of strange
there was some
sexual energy going
mojo.
On that we'd never had to deal with before. But
wasn't
yeah,
that
you
the
guys.
Day? Wasn't that the day that Christy Marie was there too that day,
dude,
just hanging out in her slave
lab. I've got a whole other commentary
just
to
saying.
Do.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
We got 18 minutes to fill. So,
okay,
don't
so here we go. Here we go.
Oh, man.
Here's a big yeah. finish. Yeah. It's a big finish.
So you guys were just totally going for it. And there are multiple mm-hmm. takes and multiple angles that went on and on. But the best part was, of course, we had to clean Duncan up because he would be covered with your soot after
yes.
every take.
We have some great
right.
off-camera shots of that,
yeah,
by the way, that
to,
are unpublished.
He would look like he'd been in a fire by the time yep. you were done with him. You just put all of your grime on him. So here's the fall. You're on there's
and
a little pad.
And
for
that's
boom.
For real. Like yeah. I was falling on top of.
Oh yeah.
No, seriously. I bent
time.
My metal lightsaber doing that fall. It's
ouch.
Still bent.
That's, is that what you're calling
not
it?
Not
I built it.
Is that a bent lightsaber?
Only behind closed doors, Eddie.
I just remember we would fall down and then just immediately start cracking up laughing at
oh, yeah.
every time.
Hilarious situation. And all we had to fall on, it was a concrete floor with two ferny pads.
Yeah.
That's it. We didn't even have like couch cushions.
I have
cushions
some great stills in. Of you guys just cracking up after every
yeah.
After
yeah.
Before we get stuff. Too far into this, I do have to give props to Amber McConnell and Katie Wilson who
yes,
helped us
absolutely.
Out being stunt Amy's when the real Amy came down with a slight case of pregnancy. so but
case
Amber,
of not being able to do anything.
I used to have a t-shirt that I would wear around the set and it said I do all my own stunts.
Right. Mm-hmm. You were sad. You were so bummed about not being able to.
Yeah.
I think she was just sad about being 8 months pregnant.
Yeah.
That's the hormones, yes. I've lived with a pregnant woman.
You were sad parking your car.
No, I really wanted to be. I would have loved to have been able to say I did 100% of them. They were awesome and, you know, stepped up for some things that you totally can't even tell. It's not me. So
yeah.
If you can't see where it is,
notice we didn't even
figure
it
out.
We didn't even give it away. We didn't even blow the game.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. No, they filled in a couple times on kind of short notice. And Amber had been a friend of mine. I had known her, and she had a little bit of martial arts background, so it worked out very well. And Katie had worked with Trey on a couple of projects.
I worked with Katie, and I knew she was a good. I meant to use her just as a visual double, but then it turned out she has a dance background. So I said,
yeah.
Eddie, you know, well, just that was Amy's background too. I was like, well,
yeah.
see what you can make Katie do.
And no, there's and there's
she was actually, you know, had a good physical sense.
There's a definitive process to translating dance movements into fighting movements. There's certain things you've got to invert and certain things you got to adjust. Because my wife's a professional dancer, so I'm very
so
aware
you,
of it.
You make
so,
her fight people. At home?
So you just I just say yeah, exactly.
Okay.
No, my Rachel can throw a mean right cross. Let me tell you.
That's the word.
Probably have to be married to you.
Huh? I know, right?
That's how Eddie shows affection. He's
exactly.
Like, he goes, yeah.
Honey, I'm home.
You
boom,
know,
bang,
the
slam.
I've been throwing Amy around for 20 years. But yeah, that's. But no, it's just no. So they stepped up the plate immensely, and they were awesome, and they were always down and always willing to try more. And I never hit my limit, or I never hit their limit. They were always up for anything. So I just want to give props to them.
So yeah. Awesome.
And I would give props to all you guys in turn for all the time spent. You know, there's literally the catwalk scene alone, I can tell you, is 6 hours of footage of the catwalk scene. Wow. Just the catwalk scene. There's 6 hours of raw footage.
Does that
footage.
Include the 2007 pickup shots and the 2012 pickup shots?
Well, I'm cutting that part out. But there's 12 minutes of what did I say? 6 minutes, whatever it is. 6 hours. 6 hours of footage for a scene that's actually about 2.5 minutes long when you cut it down. And an amazing number of that is you guys falling off a catwalk.
Because
our biggest problem was we couldn't have stormtrooper bodies all over the set, right. So every single trooper had to go off the catwalk. I mean, I think the final count is 11. We think 11 guys go over the side, both all of which are you guys.
Yeah. Multiply that by a shooting ratio of whatever it was.
Yeah. Angle we shot, you know.
Did we ever tell you that one night after we were done shooting, a bunch of us hung out on the crash mats, drank beer in the studio?
So comfy, so comfy. Very comfy. There was one time
I got a picture of everyone crashed at it. It was like nap time.
There was
3 foot thick pad. Well,
there was one time we had like a stop down, and Duncan and I had landed on the same pad, and they're like. And they're like, okay, we're going to be down for about 20 minutes while we change a setup. And I'm like, just leave, because we normally need help getting off those things. I'm like, just leave us here.
Yeah.
Duncan read a paper. Like, he had like a newspaper above him.
Vertically. I got a good shot of that.
I straight up fell asleep because the armor is very comfy when you're in it and laying down because there's padding on the inside of it. Mm-hmm. So it's like that padding and then on top of a crash mat. And it's like, I'm just sleeping on a cloud.
Right.
This is amazing. Best sleep I've had. Like, also
moving hurts. So I'll just stay like this.
I'm just gonna stay here for a while.
Gravity's not good, but the pad is nice.
Yeah. So you guys, your guys' contribution to Pink Five was, you know, very, very physical and very focused. And then it ended. So I feel like in the end it balanced out because then I got to do the next decade of dealing with everything that we did. So I feel like the level of effort actually is just
sure. If you, Duncan and I limped away and said, Duncan and I limped away and said, now it's your turn.
Yeah. That's right.
You guys still have scars, but
everyone
that's
else
cool.
got to go on with their lives. And
I think all of my scars have faded away. I think the one on my eye line is gone, and you know that one's pretty much healed.
Then, well, you know, you put that Neutrogena on.
There you go.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Lotion, everybody.
Oh, by the way, may I tell the story of the 80 pounds of dork, or do we want to do that? You want to do that a different thing?
I think no, we should. It should go here. I don't know how I'm gonna you know cut this down to 12 minutes later, but yeah, the 80 pounds of dork, it was definitely it was this, I'll start it off.
Sure.
The it was a scene. It was one of the scenes where we were at the doorway of the catwalk, and Amy was supposed to kick Eddie. I remember that's mm-hmm. how it started, and we weren't really quite getting the commitment to mm-hmm. the kick.
I didn't want to hurt anybody.
It was also the first time in the armor, so we were testing the limits and figuring out what we could and couldn't do.
First time, I think, where you were kicking pads and not kicking pads, but a person.
Straight up just kicking me, yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
Like, we kept on, and it was a head kick, especially. And it was, like, kept on, and Amy's just like, oh, I can't do it. And finally, Eddie
lethal,
just...
man. I've
and
been we, trained.
We went through this for, like,
you,
at least...
Amy kicks like a mule, totally I will lethal. Say. When she turns that hip over, Amy can kick like an effing mule.
Strong legs. And so Eddie was getting fed up. I think we were at this for like at least 20 minutes, 20, 30 minutes absolutely. Of that. And Trey's just like not seeing it. Finally, Eddie just throws up his hands and goes, Amy, you can't hurt me. I'm wearing 80 pounds of dork.
Yeah. 80 pounds of dork became a catchphrase for
the entire thing. And I think I hauled off and kicked you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It worked after that.
And by the way, interesting, it's... Because of the shooting order, we shot the catwalk before we went to Endor. So you can see the difference because in Endor, she had no qualms about kicking the hell out of
us. Oh, yeah. By that point, yeah. And by that point, especially. And there was one Endor stunt where it's like it was a round kick to the belly, which caused me to double over. And then she was going to do a roll over my back. And it's like for that, for me to sell like bending over that hard, I'm like, you really got to like effing kick. And that was a solid like... Straight up body round.
I use the actual production audio in the if you listen to it
because it's like punching a lobster. It's just this crack.
That's not a sound
there's
effect.
There's a lot
that's
of
the
space
sound.
In there to clack around.
It's the actual sound of her kicking you.
And
it sounds
too
like
bad
a cannon.
That stunt didn't actually work. We had rehearsed it in the apartment.
I couldn't bend over fast enough.
And
like,
plus,
I
think my costume, the leather and the belt was getting hung up on the plastic, and I was getting stuck halfway.
That was a great learning experience for me. Was like recognizing like, oh, we'll work out this. awesome choreography and time it out. And then once you strap on all the gear, it's like, yeah. And I remember even with like the deleted Boba Fett scene, it's like there was a wrist lock into like sort of a chicken wing.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay,
he's got a refrigerator on his wrist.
Well, not just that, but Boba Fett specifically, right on the spot where you grab his wrist. On the armor, like cannon, there's effing spikes there. Right. Yeah. It's like you can't like grab that thing without impaling your hand. Yeah.
It's just these costumes require all of your movements to be super precise.
Super tight.
Like,
yeah.
There's no room for, like you were saying, just hit me, just do it.
Because the worst part is like when you only hit somebody where it looks like you only hit them half hard. That's that's worse than missing. Like honestly, like if you can miss a gag and like as long as everybody sells it, you're fine. But if you hit someone half hard and then they sell it like they're dead, like
I've been hit so hard.
That's worse. That's so much worse. Totally. So you've got to either commit or change the angle. You know?
By the way, that particular stunt, didn't we end up using that in the catwalk scene though? Because I'm pretty sure that made the cut in this.
We do different. I do a lot of different
and all that.
There's a couple of gags where it involves grabbing a wrist and doing some shit and breaking an arm because again, in the armor, there's only so much you can do. You know what I mean? True. And like, and stormtroopers, their entire combat training just stand and fire and then die. Like they have two speeds and then that's it.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, so all of Amy's attacks were just basically Amy's going to throw herself at this person and then the next person and then stab.
Yeah.
And whereas the stormtroopers just had to sort of stand and die.
If we had more than two of you who could do stunts, I really wanted to do like a bowling pin gag where she you'd be stacked up and she could just hit the first one and you just go down like a stack of bowling pins.
Yeah. If that was actually what
would happen.
If we had five pieces of stunt armor, then there was all the possibilities were limitless. Like pick one up, ram them
into
the other.
Throw one
in
the next guy and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Now I'm kind of regretting we didn't do, but that's
force push action.
Maybe we can reshoot that.
No, just grab and throw them. Force push is not canon in this.
That's right. We don't acknowledge the prequels.
So, because it wasn't.
That's right. Well,
Bravo,
we barely acknowledge we have our midichlorian gag. That's the only really. The
well,
only.
But that's a little rib.
Exactly.
Yeah,
little dig.
I approve. We dissed them. I approve.
Yes. Yeah. That's it. Well, guys.
Oh man.
Until the next time, we have the opportunity to beat each other up. I guess.
Yeah.
Good times. Hopefully we can arrange something.
Let's do it without the armor.
Well, you're free to do it on your own.
Yeah, ditto.
You know, I don't know if I can point a camera at you, but you guys.
Well, Eddie and I used to get together and call it Fight Club, Jedi Fight Club.
We've been talking about it lately, like especially like let's just get together and just do Jedi Fight Club, just not for Pink Five, but just for the sake of fucking doing it.
First rule of Jedi Fight Club: I don't film Jedi Fight Club.
No. Don't film Jedi Fight Club.
Second rule: I do not film Jedi Fight Club.
Second rule of Jedi Fight Club: make sure our kids are napping. Like that's the other rule. So we don't have to.
Someone's trying to kill mommy.
Like. Yeah, exactly. Because my son will just cry if like anything he sees me. Anyway, so that's it. So, anywho,
awesome.
All right, guys. Until next time.
Until then, it's been fun. It's been awesome.
All right,
epic.
Peace five out.
Is nobody gonna say it? May the force be with you. For fuck's sake.
I think you just said it.
Scene. There we go.
Right.
Pause.
And
save.
And or something.
Duncan.